Live from New York City, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, and I'd like to welcome you to this program. Today, we're going to look at how the Institute of National Research in Mexico, published in the Journal of Gerontology, says that cacao, which is your chocolate, and the flavonoids it contains can improve mobility and quality of life as you age, especially for older people. We have about another 13 studies also from the world scientific literature supporting healthier choices. Then today, continuing with our ongoing series, number 71, Challenging Wikipedia. Our article today, original, is Reasons to Walk Away from Wikipedia. We'll take you behind the scenes. We'll take you where the average person, the average scientist, including everyone within the alternative and complementary medical field who's been maligned, their reputations trashed, have never been. We're behind there. We're on the same information boards that they share their own opinions one to another. When you see their opinions and you see the people, you'll think, how in the world could these people ever be allowed to edit anything? They're so biased. And that's the point. Is it possible that Jimmy Wales and the entire board of directors and all of its fiduciaries are unaware of this? No, it's not. Why? Because we've informed them. We have sent them detailed statements in the people's own language from their own inner communications outside of public purview, showing their biases, including people who lock in a bio, meaning no matter what truth is, you'll never be able to change it. So we're showing you the truth about Wikipedia, why it should be investigated by Congress, the Internal Revenue Service, every state's Attorney General, and every state's Secretary of State. That is our opinion, and we're supporting that with reams of documentation. I'll simply say this, that for the lawyers we have, and I mean a lot of lawyers we have on staff right now and working with us, what I'm presenting on the air is maybe 1% of what we actually have going forward. So we have at least another 200 to 300 articles we intend to write over the next year alone. So you're going to see an acceleration. If they thought what we've been exposing about them was tough, and they obviously do, they hired an outside counsel, good for them, because we look forward to the challenges to come, and we're prepared. So that's coming up. Also today, we're going to have a top investigative journalist on the program, Helen. She works at RT, and she has done some research to talk about who's behind Greta Thunberg. We're going to show you and why the entire world public has been played. You've been had. I warned about this. I explained it. Now we're going to detail it so you'll see for yourself, which is not to suggest that her message is not 100% accurate. It is. And why she, at least initially, may be completely innocent and been the voice of truth, which she was and is. But I've watched video of her off camera, not in any public purview, being asked questions. She couldn't answer any of them. She was like any other 16-year-old. So the media overplayed its hand. As I mentioned to you at one point, you cannot, no one has ever, not even Gandhi, been able to meet as many world leaders, as many bodies of, and there's the key. You see, that's what everyone missed. They didn't, well, I'll save it. I'll share it later on the program. We begin, however, with the latest on health and healing. For those of you who understand there's a difference between healthy chocolate and junk food chocolate, the difference is milk chocolate is junk food, white refined sugar or high fructose is junk chocolate, chemical additives and preservatives and stabilizers, emulsifiers is junk chocolate, but eating healthy, raw cacao chocolate, 70% is the ideal amount, percentage, And without the refined sugars, that's healthy. According to the Journals of Gerontology, the study of researchers in both the United States and Mexico said that flavonoids in cacao may be the key to addressing age-related decline in mass, strength, and skeletal muscle performance. Why? It's because of the flavonoids. The flavonoids are naturally occurring biological pigments that include anthocyanidins and antioxidants and antithioxidins. The flavonoids, as shown in various studies, have strong anti-allergenic effects, strong anti-cancer, anti-inflammatory, and antiviral properties. And they did a test and showed that. It improved glycemia, which is blood sugar, and it lowered the bad low-density lipoproteins but increased the good high-density lipoproteins. It lowered cholesterol, and it lowered the oxidative stress markers in the body. So all that is good because all of that is what contributes to premature aging and heart disease and diabetes. A separate article published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition found that flavonoids in cacao or chocolate could reduce age-related cognitive dysfunction as you get older and also improve your insulin sensitivity. That's good. In fact, a study from Harvard Medical School showed that the natural organic cacao powder in chocolate bars and that have not been alkalized and processed through the Dutch method and are richer in flavonoids. So just, there's not all chocolates the same, but get a good chocolate. From the Karolinska Institute in Sweden, published in the peer-reviewed journal Cell Metabolism, comes a study about glutamine, gluta, G-L-U-T-A, mean, M-I-N-E, how it can decrease obesity-linked inflammation. Do you remember years ago, I just completed a study on obesity. It was one of my earlier clinical studies on lifestyle and behavior modification. I've done 42 of them to date. And that one, we divided people into four groups, and plus a control group. And in the groups, we had one group, 100 people in that group, meet every week for 6 months. And everything about diet you could possibly understand and give a person to help them lose weight was given. All the best foods, vegan-based diet, better alkalinity than acidity-based foods. A second group got exercises. We would take them to Central Park, which was it was at the Jewish Center on 86th Street, so we'd just walk up a half a block and we'd be in Central Park. We'd take them into the park, show them power walking, biking. Inside, there was a huge room, and we'd show them every kind of exercise. So you name it, exercise they got. A third group got stress management. We had all the top stress management experts, including from the Albert Ellis Center. We had Dr. Donald Mullen, a close friend of mine. We had Lloyd Glaberman. We had Dr. Michael Elner. Everyone who could do anything with de-stressing the body naturally, hypnosis, tapping, biofeedback, meditation, all that was done. And the last group got none of that. The only thing I focused on every week was, what is the meaning of your life? Every single week for 6 months. And then a control group that had to stay on their same diet and do everything they had been doing, but couldn't do anything. There were 500 people in the study. At the end of the study, the level of failure was 93% in the diet group, 95% in the exercise group, 93-4% in the stress management group, and in the group dealing only with one question, what is the meaning of your life, we had a 96% success rate. And that is one of the reasons that to date, almost everything I do starts with a basis of focusing on perception, which becomes our reality, and which of our perceptions are wrong, and how do we change them. So that's why the study that we're just finishing, in fact, Saturday, we had the last two participants doing their exercise. Now, I don't have what their beginning one exercise were. I'll have that later today when the statistical analysis is done. But I'll tell you something. If what they said was accurate, meaning they said, oh, I did such and such before and today, this is the kind of training that you would see in a Rocky movie. I mean, these people surprise me. What phenomenal capacity for exercise, strength, and endurance, flexibility, balance, all that was measured. Took all day, the entire day, just in the gym and then on the track, filming, or not filming, but timing, counting, etc. And guess how many lectures on nutrition I gave them? Zero. Not one. Every single lecture, every single day, was about what is the meaning of your life. More on that coming up. I'm going to invite one of them to come on the program on Friday, and you'll hear directly from them. In any case, when I said that being overweight, let alone obese, let alone morbidly obese, creates inflammation. And the inflammation, in turn, causes the cells to have a great deal more what we call negative effects, or DNA that has been challenged or damaged during a day. There's normally 10,000 gene alterations per cell. Let's just go very low and say you have 50 trillion cells. 50 trillion times 10,000. And a lot of that has breakages in the DNA its structure itself, which means that when you're younger, you can replace or repair those. When you're older, less so. When you run out of the stem cells and you start running out of mitochondria, then you go into advanced aging and senescence. So the whole idea is, what can we do? Well, this is one study that shows with glutamine, you could help people who are overweight reduce inflammation of fat tissue and reduce fat mass. This is at the Karolinska Institute in Sweden, one of the finest ones, and it was done in association with the University of Oxford, University in United Kingdom. And it showed how glutamine levels can alter gene expression in several different cell types. So that's good. One more piece of the puzzle. Glutamine, if you're overweight. From the Boyce Thompson Institute and Cornell University comes a study that looks at the 100 billion aspirin tablets taken each year worldwide. So people have used aspirin to treat pain and fever and inflammation for more than 100 years. It's also used to reduce the risk of strokes, heart attacks, and some cancers. However, now, for the first time, orthodox medicine and science is saying, hold on a second, we made some mistakes. A lot of people, tens of thousands of people in the United States alone, are dying because of the effect of aspirin. And yes, it will thin the blood, but at the same time, it destroys vitamin C, folic acid, B12, and B6, the four primary nutritional factors that prevent elevated homocysteine. So here's the irony. And by the way, I've challenged my cardiologists, and my cardiologists are some of the most respected cardiologists in the country. I have one in New York and one in Florida. And they both follow my protocol. That's the irony. But they don't give it to anyone else. And that's the tragedy. And when I ask them, in fact, the last time I have to get a cardiovascular stress test, I have to get all my blood work up done twice a year for insurance. And they said, guy opens the door in his desk and says, see, Gary, there's my coenzyme Q10, there's my cayenne, there's magnesium, there's L-carnitine, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, do you offer that to your patients? He says, no. No, unlike you, I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not here to educate people about what they should take. I'm here to measure their heart, and there's only so far I can go before I become a target. By the way, I hear that constantly, and especially at medical conferences where people have to stay within a very narrow range of what they're allowed to offer their patients before they themselves are attacked for doing something that's unscientific, even though the science is on their side. So Now we're looking at plants. So the good news is, for things to change, you have to have 3.5% mass change, meaning if 3.5% of Americans, it's a little over 11 million Americans, if 11 million Americans decided to protest something together, and they made all that protest public, and they engaged in civil disobedience, nonviolent civil disobedience, what Gandhi suggested, it would change the larger paradigm. But it takes 3.5%. So when I'm thinking of this, I'm looking, okay, we're not there yet, but we're approaching it. But then that takes you away from the control of an absolute negative paradigm. You have to have freedom for something, not just freedom away from something. You can walk out of a prison cell where you were freed as an innocent person, and thank goodness for the Freedom Project, but that doesn't mean you're free for something. That has to be with a different intent and skills. So what do we have when it comes to walking away from the aspirin? We have the science showing it doesn't work in all people and it's dangerous and overused. Good, just like antibiotics. But now the question is, what do we use in its place? This salicylic acid, and that something can turn off pain and help with other conditions. Well, willow bark, meadowsweet, poplar, and those are just some of the rich in the same compounds that are anti-inflammatory that can help with fever and pain that you have in the aspirin. Salicylic acid. And that's what they did. They looked in these and found it really makes a difference. It would certainly help with people with type 2 diabetes and arthritis and heart disease and Alzheimer's and dementia and multiple sclerosis and Parkinson's. So look for the non-chemical, natural products that can do that. And there are many. From University of Baroda, which is in India, published in the Journal of Ayurvedic and Integrative Medicine, which is peer-reviewed, morning glory is the best herb for making an Ayurvedic brain tonic, according to this study. And the name they use is Shankpushpi, but just simply use morning glory. And it's known for the brain tonic, highly appreciated for its beneficial effects on the central nervous system. And they take it to enhance memory and improve intellect. And four herbs are commonly identified as the sources of this. And this is a new study. Researchers from India evaluated the neuropharmacological effects of these herbs. And they found that among the four, morning glory is the most promising as a candidate drug or to be used because it's so rich in phytonutrients they can protect nerves from B amyloid, especially in the brain. And Ayurvedic practitioners use either one of these four medicinal herbs to make the concoction that they use. And so something to add to your vocabulary, morning glory, because everyone is at risk of having the B amyloid-induced neurotoxicity. Remember, B amyloid, A-M-Y-L-O-I-D, is a peptide. That's a protein fragment found in the brain. Now, in healthy brains, B-amyloid peptides are normally broken down and eliminated. However, in the brains of patients with Alzheimer's and dementia and Parkinson's, these protein fragments manage to clump together between nerve cells and form plaques. And amyloid plaques are hard, insoluble, and toxic to nerve cells. So besides protecting against B-amyloid-induced neurotoxicity, the researchers also looked at the ability of extracts from each herb to inhibit acetylcholinesterase and lipogenesis, that's 5-LOX, and exhibit antioxidant potential. And they found that as well. So on all levels, this works. By the way, green tea works also. And carrots restore working memory in dementia patients. Carrot juice would be great if you balance it out with some other nutrients. From Ulm University, ULM University in Germany, comes a study about zinc. And it found that zinc deficiency during pregnancy leads to altered microbiome and elevated inflammatory markers. So zinc is an essential trace mineral, especially for bacteria in your intestine. About 20% of dietary zinc intake is used by intestinal bacteria. And the microbiome, that's the whole cluster of all the trillions of bacteria in your gut, that's very important for you to have a healthy gut in order to have a healthy brain, vis-a-vis the so-called gut-brain interactions. So have your zinc, 20 to 50 milligrams, and have a healthier gut. And finally, there's one important study from Mahodo University in Thailand that higher serum folate is associated with lower homocysteine levels and other factors, especially as you get older. Now, we know that when you've got the right amount of folic acid in your body, that helps keep your homocysteine levels down, and homocysteine elevated, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, when it's up there and shouldn't be, ideally it should be down 3, 4, 5, 6, then you're at more risk of a heart attack. All right? One last thing from Boston University, a major study. Sleep cleanses the brain of toxic waste products accumulated during the day. And if let's just use a metaphor that a good night's sleep is the same as brainwashing. And it continues surreptitiously every hour of the day and night. So just something, this is published in the journal Science. So get your sleep. Make sure it's a sound sleep. I've gone over many times what you should do to ensure a better night's sleep, because you want to make sure a process sought to remove waste, the inward flow, was preceded by patterns of slow waves of electrical activity called delta waves. And these brain waves are also known to play a role in consolidating memories while we sleep. And the researchers found that the waves coincided with blood flowing out of the brain, which they say helps balance the total volume of fluid around the brain. So that's what happens when you sleep. Large waves of cerebrospinal fluid flow in and out of the brain every 20 seconds. That's the latest on health and healing. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, a special original investigative report on Wikipedia and why we're asking people walk away from Wikipedia. I'd like to welcome all of you. I'm Gary Nall. This article has been completely proofed by our legal team, as all of them are. As a result, out of 736 articles I've published, we've never once in 53 years ever had to retract or correct a single article, a book, a documentary, or broadcast. We take information seriously, and we try to do all we can to vet it for accuracy, objectivity, and balance. This one is posted on PRN.fm. I suggest you download it and send this to your legislators. Why? The only way to get to the bottom of what we see as a terrible situation for the entirety of all complementary and health practitioners around the world is to expose what is occurring in the lower gut of Wikipedia, and they don't have a healthy biome. Just putrefaction. This is called Reasons to Walk Away from Wikipedia. Now, we know it's that time of year for seasonal acts of compassion and kindness and giving. Again, Wikipedia's co-founder, Jimmy Wells, has reached out to tens of millions of Wikipedia users to beg for donations to keep the Wikimedia Foundation's small empire of information domination alive on the Internet. It is rather outrageous that Wales, a professional atheist and a deep admirer of Richard Dawkins, a leading atheist guru and throwback to the 19th century mentality behind today's modern skepticism, would be motivated to disingenuously take advantage of Christmas tidings to further feed the encyclopedia's billions of dollars in value. On the Foundation's support homepage, we read a slick message that says, quote, "Your donation protects the human right to free and open knowledge for everyone," end quote. No doubt the knowledge is free, but whether the knowledge the user accesses is trustworthy and truthful is open to debate. Martin Armstrong, an international financial analyst of global markets and political environmentalist, recently wrote in a short opinion essay on his company's website, Armstrong Economics, quote, "Wikipedia is a professional propaganda organization that allows fake news and outright illegal propaganda to dominate the Internet. What is interesting is how Wikipedia circumvents the law because nobody really owns Wikipedia. They ask for donations that I would strongly advise against. If you want to donate anything, leave them all your debt in your will. They deserve it," end quote. Yet the Foundation already has plenty of deep pocket donors. Google gave $2 million and $1.1 million to the Wikimedia Endowment, the fund that keeps Wikipedia running, and the Foundation respectively this year. Last year, Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos gave a $1 million gift, chump change for a man worth $110 billion, which is equivalent to you and I donating a nickel. Other companies such as Apple, Microsoft, Goldman Sachs, the Bill and Melissa Gates Foundation, Boeing, Chevron, and a host of pharmaceutical and healthcare corporations also among its additional benefactors. By the way, it's Melinda Gates, not Melissa. In its earlier article, "Wikipedia Doesn't Need Your Money," the British site The Register noted, quote, "Once upon a time, Wikimedia listed every donation, but now only a few of the largest are made public. Substantial donations from the wealthy include one made by Omidyar Network, which gave $2.5 million and won a seat on the board," end quote. Despite the Foundation's claims of being worth a modest $135 million in total assets as of 2018 fiscal year, a year earlier, Smithsonian Magazine reported that an independent evaluation calculated that Wikipedia website was worth, quote, "tens of billions of dollars and has a replacement cost of $6.6 billion. And for context, it costs the site $25 million each year to run. Nice return on your money. What you're really donating to, Armstrong observes, is an environment of writers, editors, administrators who, quote, claim to be volunteers, and therein lies the problem. Anyone donating their time can have an agenda funded by other sources, and then Wikipedia asks for donations. There are absolutely no qualifications required. Absolutely anyone can apply to be an editor. They do not even verify their identities. Since they receive no salary, they do not need confirmation of who you even are. After these anonymous people make 500 edits without proving that they are even qualified on the subject, they become, quote, an extended confirmed user, end quote, and can become an, quote, administrator, aka sysops. That's S-Y-S-O-P-S. Then this anonymous person can undo changes, block users, delete pages, and even edit pages that are supposed to be fully protected, end quote. It's never impossible, but nearly so, to discover the actual identities of anonymous editors. Armstrong continues, quote, "So you have to go to court to fight to try to find out who's posting. Even their moderators, they call sysops, are anonymous, which breeds secrecy and encourages fraud. They know they can do anything and cannot be sued, for you do not even know who they are. the ultimate propaganda machine, end quote. What very few Wikipedia users realize is that the apparent nonprofit owner of the encyclopedia, in our opinion, does very little to control and monitor the content on its pages. Fraudulent claims, corporate ideological propaganda, and intentional smear campaigns are commonplace and can remain for months and even years before editorial corrections are made, if at all. The foundation is simply a passive bystander. Annually, tens of millions of site users are duped by whales in the foundation's end-of-year donation requests for $5 or $10 goodwill offerings to an organization that acts negligently to keep the encyclopedia alive as it sits back to permit rogue individuals, groups, institutions, and even corporations and politically motivated organizations to use the website's global reach to hoodwink its users and to falsely discredit their critics and enemies. During fundraising seasons, Wales gleefully speaks about how much the encyclopedia content has expanded, but never mentions that this is performed by an army largely made up of anonymous and unknown volunteers. Many of its senior editors and administrators have adopted Wikipedia as full-time jobs and function as obedient foot soldiers to advance Jimbo's vision. For seasoned editors who have been on Wikipedia for years, the chaos, harassment, conflicts of interest, and outright malice is no secret, and it's become a frequent topic for discussion on their message boards, which you, the public, never see. We have. Consequently, several discussion groups have started in the social media to critique the foundation and Jimmy Wales's failed experiment, and many of its senior administrators are identified as dogmatic, dysfunctional, and sometimes psychopathological. Among these groups are the Wikimocracy, Wikipedia Sucks, Wiki in Action, and Cold Fusion Community. Now, these sites can be a treasure trove of information to better understand the deeper levels of corruption that run through Wikipedia and the vicious editorial wars and libelous language and character assassinations that are underway daily behind the scenes of the encyclopedia's main pages. An article in MIT Technology Review criticizing Wikipedia's deterioration states, quote, this is from MIT Technology Review, "The volunteer workforce that built the project's flagship, the English language Wikipedia, and must defend it against vandalism, hoaxes, and manipulation, has shrunk by more than a third since 2007 and is still shrinking. Those participants left seem incapable of fixing the flaws that keep Wikipedia from becoming a high-quality encyclopedia by any standard, including the project's own," end quote. One former senior Wikipedia editor, who goes by the pseudonym ABD, wrote on the Cold Fusion Community discussion group, quote, "Internet trolling is such a problem because of anonymity, which somehow got enshrined on Wikipedia, and this is the original factor that will keep Wikipedia from ever becoming reliable. Reliable sources cannot be anonymous," end quote. Fortunately, these social media sites devoted to Wikipedia are also helpful for finding the actual names of certain senior editors who have exhibited a history of bad character and abuse of the site. For example, ABD unearthed further information about the compromised senior administrator who could not be properly identified on Wikipedia backroom talk page where editor, quote, "The user behind Golden Face, one of the AAP sock puppets," and then it gives the name. I won't give it now for reasons that are, well, as you will see shortly with the press conference, claimed to have been paid to edit by, quote, "major skeptical organization that was confirmed by his brother," the name of the brother, "in an email known to be from him. It is plausible there are other interest groups with more money that might fund certain kinds of astroturfing, particularly on Wikipedia," end quote. During a TED lecture, former CBS program host Cheryl Atkinson described Wikipedia as, quote, "astroturf's dream come true," end quote. And as we have detailed in dozens of other investigations into Wikipedia's culture of propaganda and the smear campaigns an elaborate network of, quote, militant atheists, end quote, and radicalized skeptics who oppose everything that has to do with any natural and alternative medical systems has been holding thousands of Wikipedia pages hostage in order to launch their astroturf agendas to further promote their ideological mission. The Wikimedia Foundation has been fully aware of the astroturfing that infects much of the encyclopedia's content. Given the very nature of Wikipedia's chaotic strategy to create an authentic encyclopedia by allowing anonymous writers and editors to create its content, astroturfing is inevitable. As the world's fifth most popular website, everyone who has a private agenda to push upon the public is welcome to participate. This is further evidence that we believe Wikipedia should be a source of last resort or not at all for accessing any reliable information about non-conventional medical practices that are used by the majority of the world's population. For that, go to GreenMedInfo. Go to Deepak Chopra's foundation, 100,000 studies peer-reviewed there. There are many credible, legitimate sources for looking at the peer-reviewed literature supporting every one of the alternative therapies. One of the more problematic issues is for new editors' attempts to make corrections for gross inaccuracies and disparaging content on pages for personal biographies and non-conventional medical practices. Regardless of the level of scholarship and expertise a new editor might have, including the very person the biography is about, efforts to correct content in a neutral manner are immediately reverted back and the editor is eventually either blocked or banned. During the past 2 years, we have sent many letters of legal notifications, 12, to the Foundation and its board of directors and fiduciary and Jimmy Wells. Included in that was the entire Attorney General of California's statements about what happens if you are a fiduciary and you choose not to act upon qualified information showing something's wrong with your organization and how you then become personally responsible. They have all that. They have not responded once, except with their lawyer telling us, don't send any more of these articles or letters to anyone at Wikipedia, either one. So, understand, no effort that you make of correcting inaccuracies and showing bias and showing untrustworthiness of the sources they're using or the citations being wrong is ever removed. Numerous letters and requests have been sent by countless individuals. We have been working with their attorneys and the individuals, Deepak Chopra among them, Rupert Sheldrake, dozens. They all say the same identical thing. Every single effort made to correct anything wrong on their bios, these are living people bios, are automatically reverted back. So their idea is, oh, okay, you're then being locked in perpetuity into being condemned by people who don't know you, have no qualifications that you would have never met one of your patients, have never published in the peer-reviewed literature based upon the work in your field, and yet they're your expert. The Foundation's reply is standard and always the same. Use the encyclopedia's resources and follow the editorial protocols to make your case with the entries volunteer senior administrators in order to substantiate the charges you request. However, after speaking with many individuals and heads of professional associations in the alternative medical field, the story repeats itself. Skeptic editors, anonymous ones, simply disallow changes and eventually block and ban those attempting to make corrections. The frequent argument skeptics employ is that, listen carefully to this, you won't believe it. This is the level of insanity that we're faced with. Here's their argument when you want to show them something about a biography is wrong. And you're the person that the biography is about. You're the living person. They will simply state that if you have anything at all to do with an alternative medical discipline, anything, any affiliation, with even with a living person whose biographical page you are trying to correct, like your friend, then there is, quote, a conflict of interest, and therefore you're biased and not given any credibility. Consequently, skeptics, with the Foundation's permission, have created a Kafka-esque atmosphere on thousands of Wikipedia pages. The living person, the person being slandered, the reputation destroyed on Wikipedia, is not regarded as an expert about their own life, their career. Renowned scientists and physicians such as Deepak Chopra, Dr. Larry Dawsey, Dr. Dean Radin, Dr. Rupert Sheldrake have spent decades to master their fields of expertise, and outside of the encyclopedia and skeptic community, millions of people worldwide acknowledge them as such. Nevertheless, the foundation hosts anonymous fanatics without any direct knowledge nor background in these fields to be the final arbiters and ultimate experts. Rather, they make the claim, quote, "I'm the skeptic editor. I'm the expert about you, and I deem you deplorable and invite other skeptics to add their criticisms and insults so that you and your kind are destroyed in the eyes of the public." Skeptics, in other words, exercise extrajudicial execution by website, and the victim has no legal recourse because the firewall the foundation has erected for itself under the protection of the Communications Decency Act allows them to get away with it. One of the reasons we believe there should be a national campaign to remove the Communications Decency Act from all these websites. However, you don't need to take our sole word for our singling out skeptics as the dominating and tyrannical force on Wikipedia's natural medicine pages and the biographical pages of its leading advocates. A post on Wiki in Action by another senior editor of Wikipedia has gone one up against skeptic administrators numerous times, confirms flawlessly everything we have been writing for the past 2 years. From years of firsthand experience with other editors and the foundation's administration policies, and Jimmy Wells himself, the editor, writes, quote, "Pseudo-skeptics who have strong beliefs are indeed very much not neutral. Real encyclopedias will cover all those topics, health topics, neutrally, using academic reserve. Biased against means prejudiced, not actually based on investigation of sources, but rather pursuing an agenda. And editors like this will cherry-pick and character assassinate anyone who they think has wrong beliefs. Medical science, as one example, is in flux, and what is presented as mainstream is sometimes based very poorly on genuine scientific research, but a neutral project would present what it is and use reliable sources, giving preference to peer review and academic sources without giving prominence to every blog critique and of some idea of or person. It is known how to do this, and the pseudo-skeptical faction has always resisted moving towards neutrality. The pseudo-skeptic explicitly reject neutral policy, yet they are tolerated by the foundation, and they have successfully framed every attempt to seek neutrality by consensus as being a fanatic believers and lunatic charlatans. They're indeed fanatics of all kinds, and these editors are fanatics. This is the fundamental problem there. The use of fringe as an obvious pejorative in the encyclopedia's voice. The internet is scoured for negative opinion, and that is presented. A blog is used very much against policy by a biography of a living person. Wikipedia is full of crap like this. I repeat, Wikipedia is full of crap like this. The anti-fringe faction is quite strong. You will get practically no traction against established editors. To actually shift things requires much more in high patience and skill. Small changes can take away too much work, and given the lack of adult supervision, is a project written on Wikipedians for the public. Many, many times these issues have come up, and the reality is that it is written by Wikipedians for Wikipedians, with few really considering the kinds of issues that a real publisher would consider. This is all part of why Wikipedia would never be and should never be taken as a reliable source," end quote. Skeptics, or if you prefer, pseudo-skeptics, are common. They are all over the place when it comes to Wikipedia. And that is the problem. So there you have one part of it. Their own individuals, their own managers of these sites. But let me give you another person. Another person that you should read. In an interview, Dr. Peter Goetze, the former head of the prestigious Nordic Cochrane Center in Denmark, and a co-founder of the Cochrane Collaboration, has been a harsh critic of the medical drug-based orthodoxy that skeptics support. Now, with medical error and prescription drugs as the third leading cause of death after heart disease and cancer, Dr. Goetze stated in an interview, quote, "Our drugs kill around 200,000 people every year in America. Half of these people die while they do whatever their doctors tell them to do. So they die because of the side effects. The other half die because of errors. And it is often the doctors that make the errors because every drug may come with 20, 30, 40 warnings, contraindications, precautions, and so on. No doctor in the world knows all about this. So they give patients drugs they should not have been given," end quote. But worst, he discovered, quote, "Much of what the pharmaceutical industry does fulfills the criteria for organized crime in the United States. They behave much in the way the mafia does. They corrupt everyone they can corrupt. They have bought every type of person, including ministers of health in some countries. The drug industry buys the professors first, then the chiefs of department, and so on," end quote. This is the regime Wikipedia supports. And yet there is no large public outcry against this crime. The companies have become so large, with assets and value worth more than the gross domestic product of many countries, that our federal government won't dare touch them, but rather it collaborates with them to carry their revenue-generating war against the health of Americans. And it is not unreasonable to assume Big Pharma has its fingers deep in the skeptic network and even among skeptic editors at Wikipedia. The skeptic's reliance on science-based medicine in other blind faith is not simply misleading, but often intentional, fraudulent. John Hurton further notes in his Scientific America diatribe against modern skepticism, quote, "When people like this get together, they become tribal. They pat each other on the back and tell each other how smart they are compared to those outside the tribe. But belonging to a tribe often makes us dumber," end quote. Everyone who has been banned from Wikipedia's pages for alternative medicine will recognize how this tribal mentality among skeptic administrators is arrogant and can often become intentionally malicious. The irony is that there are hundreds of thousands of clinicians and therapists, highly qualified, well-educated, with outstanding results with their patients, and they have tens of thousands of studies and peer-reviewed literature backing up the scientific efficacy and safety of what they are doing. Plus, you have hundreds of millions of patients. None of that is acceptable to the tiny fringe cult within Wikipedia. Wikipedia categorically denies the existence of this research and clinical experience. At the same time that they condemn everything about alternative medicine, their own faith in orthodox medicine has had little success in treating chronic illnesses. Today, individuals such as Dr. Peter Goetze and Dr. David Healy and Stanford's Dr. John Ioannidis are revealing the facts of how unscientific modern medicine has become and how bad science is being used and manipulated by the drug companies to maximize profits. So this is Wikipedia's double negative. It promotes unscientific medicine while denying the very therapies that relieve it. I'm Gary Knoll, and that's our special report today. We're going to go right now over to a guest standing by. Do we have Helen on the line? Oh, hi, Helen.
Hello. Introduce what I'm going to talk about, or should I just start?
Yes, no, I just want people to know that Helen has just finished doing an interesting article. I read it and invite her on to share her theme. So present your article to us, Helen.
All right. Well, I wrote about Greta Thunberg, who, as everybody probably knows, recently won Time's Person of the Year and has been generally celebrated enormously everywhere she goes. And basically what I looked at was who is behind Greta and what is the purpose of just pushing her in everybody's face. What a lot of people don't know is that it was only on her first day of this school strike in front of the Swedish parliament that she was skyrocketed into fame, well, first local fame and then international fame, when this man, Ingvar Renshag, who is a big power player in finance and real estate in Sweden, just happened to stumble upon her protest there on the street. And what a lot of people don't know is that he was already well acquainted with Greta's mother, Malena Ernman, an opera singer and a Eurovision song winner. And they both had met previously about 3 weeks before at a conference organized by Al Gore, where he was teaching future climate organizers and future climate activists how to make their voices known and felt in the field. So anybody who knows a little bit about Al Gore knows that his primary purpose in the whole climate sphere has been to profit enormously off it with his solar panels and his solar hedge funds and things of that nature. And so Greta, unfortunately, I mean, I believe that she means well, but she's being used by these powers, this Ingvar Renshag, who used her face and used her in his investment prospectus to make millions and millions of dollars. Just to get the problem is that with these groups, these Al Gores, these Ingvar Renshags, is that they aren't willing to stop the economic growth that is causing climate change, well, that's causing the emissions, causing the pollution, everything that creates the warming or the environmental catastrophes, because that would require a huge lifestyle shift for many people on the planet. And what you can generally tell with a real environmental activist group or one of these that wants to just continue with rampant growth and rampant capitalism is that the real ones will call out to the Pentagon, they'll call out the military-industrial complex. If you rated the Pentagon along with all other countries, it would be in the top 10 in terms of emission and pollution and environmental damage. But you don't see groups like Extinction Rebellion, you don't see Greta Thunberg calling out the military, because it's they're one and the same with the whole system. So, Greta Thunberg, there's now a biopic, a documentary being made about her life. She's 16 years old. What has? How do you make a biopic about a 16-year-old girl? There's not a lot of material to work with, but it's because they've been filming from day one. And that's what they talk about in the article, is that basically says this has all been done for the cameras. It was day one of her protest that she was suddenly this PR superstar, Renshag, had her on the front pages of Swedish newspapers. There's nothing really organic about her rise at all, and it's just it's unfortunate that they have to use children like this, because just telling people to stop flying and stop doing everything that you're doing, trying to shame people into changing their lifestyles, while the people who are running the show of this whole environmental scam are not changing their own lives. They're just forcing this on other people and hoping that it takes root. But it takes a child who's beyond criticism. And Greta, unfortunately, when you take her away from her scripts and you take her away from her handlers, she's not very good at answering questions. And she's got her scripts down very well. Her parents are both actors. They've taught her how to communicate emotion. And it's interesting, one of the board members of We Don't Have Time, which is Ingmar Renshag's group, which is purports to be a green social network, basically rating businesses on their environmental how they manage their environmental PR, basically. One of the people on his board is this guy whose whole thing is to teach people how to tell stories in a way that makes them take action, makes them do something. So they've got this guy on the board, and you have to wonder, what is he doing on the board, if not to tug at people's emotional heartstrings and make them take action? But basically, that's it. The Greta enterprise is making a lot of people very rich, and Goldman Sachs has 775 billion reasons to support Greta Thunberg. I think that was the number, at least. They put a whole lot of money into these carbon offsets, these carbon credits, it's all, and none of this is actually going to save the environment. They're basically trying to bribe the climate not to change with these carbon offsets and carbon credits. You can't buy a reduction in emissions. You have to actually do something. And they're telling people to panic as if the house is on fire. No great decisions were ever made in the throes of panic. You have to actually sit down and think and solve the problems. You can't buy your way out of the problems. But that actually solving the problems is the last on these people's list. First, they're going to scam a lot of people and make a lot of money just by telling them the sky is falling and that the only way to solve the problem is to contribute all of your excess cash, and even excess cash you don't actually have. And so a lot of money is being made, but the problems are not being solved. And so Greta is being used.
You're listening to Helen Buynisky, B-U-Y-N-I-S-K-I. She's an investigative reporter. A couple of things. Before Greta made it to the United States, at the very beginning of this story, I asked our publisher if he would send Greta the 16 articles that Richard Gale and I have written, these are universal, meaning every problem in the world are in these articles. They're very scholarly. Plus three documentaries on the environment, including Saving the Planet, One Bite at a Time. And he said, no problem. So he got back to us an hour later and says, okay, I've been speaking with her agent. And I said, hold on a second. What does she need an agent for? Well, she has several agents. And my publisher happened to have, his wife was from Sweden. He speaks frequent Swedish. Therefore, he was able to contact the people around her. And then we start seeing the photographs that there's one woman who's always right near Greta, not in the shop, but if you can see her. Then you find out that her parents are actors, and one dramatic actor and also an opera singer. But her whole family is made up of people in the acting business. And then one of her talks to me was clearly one where she was coached on how to act. So here's what we have. When I look behind the scenes and I started looking into the background, I see George Soros, I see Bill and Melinda Gates, I see the very people who want to control so much of the world, and they're behind all this. They're part of a group behind it. But Greta, I believe, is playing the role that she was, and she's also an actress, by the way. She had been studying acting for years before. At 16, she was still studying acting before this. And how is it that you could have a camera crew before you had a movement, before you had anything, which mean that there was an enormous effort behind her? Because it's one thing to become popular. It's another thing to be invited in short order within 3 months to speak before Davos. Nobody gets a chance to speak before Davos unless you're there to make him money or align with him. The British Parliament, the French Parliament, and the United Nations, plus she met with every single major Native American advocate on their reservations. I'll bet I could ask 100 environmentalists, can you name me one Native American activist and where they live and how to reach them? I don't know. How does she suddenly know how to reach these people? How does she get into Obama's house? You don't get this unless you've got an agenda with people who are the biggest, most powerful people in the world, public relations people, connected political people, economic people behind it. And that's exactly who we have found behind her. So let's no longer confuse the issue. Greta's message is honest and accurate, and it's good that she is saying it and has. If she can motivate younger people to tell their parents to change, good. If she can invite people, the younger people, to remind their parents of their obligations to the planet, I fully support that. But I see also the Al Gores, a person who I believe has done more damage to the environment movement than anyone else, because it's all about making money off cap and trade, carbon exchanges. But you don't see them once. When was the last time you saw Al Gore or any of these other people, including Greta, going out and lying down in front of, let's say, a Koch brothers plant, or going before the military base and protesting, not allowing any personnel in or out so they get arrested? You haven't once. There's a difference between being an activist and being active. And how do you make someone a person of the year when you've got people risking their lives with being killed in Singapore, real courageous people, not people that came over to America on a $3 million yacht to save carbon footprint, and then the whole crew was flown back, which would have cost as much as 25 people traveling. It's all a show, and we're too dumb to understand this. So this is just one more way the environmental movement I have no respect for. I don't want to belong to anything in the environmental movement. I'll go ahead and do my films on the environment, which is, I just finished the final review last night, where people really want to do something. The only way you're going to save the planet is close down the polluting industries and close down by 600% your lifestyle utilization, meaning what you're buying, what you're consuming, and what you're throwing away. If you can't do those two things simultaneously, plus plant trees, then game over. But a lot of people make trillions of dollars off this game that's being played. Helen, thank you very much for your efforts.
Thank you. And also the wars have to be ended. That's how we're going to do it.
There's no way we're going to end the wars. Too profitable. You know that.
Yeah, I know.
And they know that. Yeah, you want to see Greta do something? Have Greta climb a fence like the nun did and to protest nuclear. Have her go and stand in front of a nuclear power plant and not allow a truck in. Because then when you're arrested as a domestic terrorist. Let's see how that goes. Oh, and by the way, that picture of her sitting on the floor with her luggage, turns out she was put in first class. Okay, enough of the image, enough of the nonsense. I intend to do a lot more on this because I'm sick of people being played like we're all idiots. Some of us are idiots, not all of us. See you tomorrow. Have a nice day.